the dust.
Yeah, hey. Right after As You Wish. Connect the Dots show is now here. On a bi-weekly program, believe it or not. But it's such a pleasure to follow James Gillian. And I listened to his whole show before to start mine. And I'll have to say, James, if you might be listening, that was the most perfect sermon anybody could ever give to humanity. It was like your own Sermon on the Mount. And you pretty much covered everything there, talking about, you know, what's going on, how we should be acting, you know, how we need to be setting the examples. You covered everything in that. And you wove around the Lord Jesus Christ, which most people have a poor understanding. Who was this magical person? And so let me get ahead a little beyond what you did. That was pretty good about the 82 books of the Ethiopian Bible that talks about, you know, the feminine side of things that were purposely left out of the classic Roman Bible. And most people don't realize that there's this thing out there called the fifth apocryphal revelation given to humanity. And it pretty much gives more details and accurate information about the personal life of Jesus while he was out there doing his mission. The mission, of course, to teach humanity about the loving nature of God. Not those false gods who were misinforming you an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I mean, it's sad to say, but those false god teachings are still being preached out there. And they have no place in the hearts of humans who want to be part of the universe and in sync with the true God, the Heavenly Father. And if you really want to gain an understanding about what the Gospels, which give you a lot of important information, and a lot of it is very accurate, but if you're really, truly interested in more detail about the life of Jesus, as mentioned and referred to in the Gospels, you definitely need to read the fifth apocryphal revelation, which has a special section just dedicated to that. And I did count, just from my own understanding, the Gospels as written in the Roman version of the Bible that they created, the edited version, their edited version. It's about 400 pages of information relating to Jesus. But when you take the time to read the newer information, we're talking about information revealed just in the 20th century, the newer information is always more informative and accurate. And there's no loss in translation either. You know, we're talking 700 pages as opposed to 400 pages. 700 pages dedicated to explaining the life of Jesus from birth on, not just all of a sudden picking it up at age 12 or something then. But you can't call yourself a scholar and knowledge of Jesus by not reading this. Once you read this, you'll see that this book is the supreme authority on what happened here on earth, as told via the observations of one of the guardian angels of one of the brothers, who was there witnessing it firsthand. How did it all come about? Well, that is a long story. But I'm telling you that it's out there. Search for it. The fifth apocalypse revelation, you know, and those revelations also give mention that Jesus' mission on earth, his teachings at that particular point in time, roughly 2,000 years ago, that was the fourth apocalypse revelation given to humanity, meaning what it was determined that humanity could comprehend. And that's why there's a lot of talk about donkeys and cattle and farming and stuff like that, because the people were of real ignorance back then. And there's a different type of ignorance going around today. But again, it's a problem of ignorance. So a word to the wise on that one. I mean, people ask me, well, what's your favorite scripture book? I wouldn't call it a religious book. I'd call it an information book, and it is the fifth apocalypse revelation. Is there any other book on the face of this earth, one not written by humans? All the information is supplied from galactic records out there in the universe, not kept on Earth for obvious reasons. And what other book explains to you whom the first source and center, the Heavenly Father, really is, and how he made himself into a Trinity within a fraction of a second? Don't you think that information is important? You know, everybody's always claiming, oh, well, here's my picture of God. Here's mine. It's a better picture. Oh, here's my favorite picture of God with the old man with the white beard. Well, none of those are true, of course. But the very logical, very easy to understand explanation is in this collection of papers known as the Fifth Apocalypse Revelation to Humanity. And, of course, there's, for those who want the real simple form, try your dictionary. I amazingly found out one day that I picked up a dictionary. You know, it was on the page with the G's. So I said, well, let me just see what this dictionary defines God. The omnipotent threefold personality. I said, what? Because that is a pretty accurate description of whom God is, omnipotent, all powerful. Threefold personality. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, you know? For all essential purposes, the Trinity is God, and God is the Trinity. And I'm sure there's many people who love to debate that. Hey, but because this is a Coleman radio show, if you have listened to me at other previous times, maybe the show is Connect the Dots on your host, John Edison, and just call the number, like that commercial. call the number. Yeah, well, the number here is 888-627-6008. And I'd be happy to explain anything I just said, because I try to make that one of my specialties or my ethics in life, that I am capable of backing up things that I say. It's my integrity. Anyhow, you have the number. And the other commercial was, I can't call you because I don't have your number. But you can call me at 888-627-6008. And they go back to the other commercial, card the number. And so be it. I don't know what more I could say about James Gillian, man. Everything he said was perfection. Completely true. I agree with everything he said. And there's not so many times I can say that about people, but what he said tonight, I can just simply agree with everything he had to say. He was on the money and beyond. And if you didn't watch the show, well, when it becomes archived, watch that show. And it'll certainly give you a better understanding of the bigger picture that we're all participants playing out right now. You're a participant. But if you didn't want to be, you are a participant. There's an old rock and roll song, essentially, that kind of coined that phrase to represent what I'm just talking about there. You end up playing anyway. Whether you wanted to or not, sometimes you end up playing anyway. And who said it? Well, I don't know. Anybody knows, hey, call the number. when that commercial comes on TV, and I do watch, regular free TV, because I want to see what the opposition is doing, and they have commercials up there. I have to sing along with them. And the guy goes, call the number. I'm sitting on the bed and I'm saying the same thing because it's just a fun thing to say. And but what does that say for our society? Excuse me. I was one of those sicknesses floating around. Well, what can I say? My girlfriend picked it up first. Naturally, she shared it with me. Now, it was interesting watching James Gillian when he takes a drink of water. I have to give everybody a minute of silence here, and you got nothing to look at, so just imagine whom I am, and I'm going to take a swig of water. Hold on. I'm back from the water world. And boy, that was refreshing. Nothing satisfies like ice cold water. Ah, yeah. So they say, when I was a child, I used to thought nothing satisfies better than Coca-Cola. And a long time ago, the formula was a little better than it is today. They played around with it too much. They put corn syrup in. Of course, that's GMO corn syrup. And Coke is one of the lead corporate destroyers of humanity. Hey, if you have an upset stomach, you can go to a pharmacy and get some Coca-Cola syrup. And that's real tasty. And that's a reality, you know, and they're the only product that you can buy like that. That you can't get Pepsi Cola, sir, has no value. So is it the magic of the Coca-Cola leaves? Maybe. I mean, supposedly they have to wash them before they inject the flavor. And what very few people understand, but I'm going to bring forth the point of it right now, because this is Connect the Dots, and this is an educational show. And one of the magic things, what makes Coke taste better than Pepsi, I'm sure there's a lot of people that disagree with that. What do I hear? I'm going to give my honest opinion. Is the fact that it's in a green bottle, or used to be. And I found out, in my experiences, that everything tastes better in a green bottle, a green glass bottle. I don't care what it is, it'll taste better in the green bottle. Because every color has its frequency, and there is a frequency in green. It's not the same frequency as clear, and definitely not the same frequency as brown. And there's your bit of scientific truth for the night. Go look it up. Do your own testing. So, coming on at 11 p.m. to 11:55 p.m. Central Time, it's a new time slot for my show, Connect the Dots. And this time slot will only be bi-weekly. You know, I'm okay with that. Actually, I happen to know the guy who does the other bi-weekly part of this time slot. He's from New York City, like me. Alan, who his name is. Anyhow, he's always worth listening to. He has shows called New Realities. And other things he does. A great guy. Anyhow, hey, plenty of great guys come from New York City. So the next time I'll be doing this show, Connect the Dots, will be on January 17th. That's exactly 2 weeks from now. And then the following show will be January 31st. See how that click in every second week. Well, that's where I'm at. I'm in a two-time, a bi-weekly show. And while we're talking about dates, you know, today is Saturday, January 3rd, 2026. It just so happens. I don't know, let me say 5 days from now, on January 8th, we should give a little recognition to the man who earned himself the title the King of Rock and Roll. Elvis Presley was born in Tupelo, Mississippi. And talk about stranger than fiction. I believe he had a songwriting partner after he became famous. It was a guy from Brooklyn who was born on the same day back in 1935. And they partnered on some of Elvis's classic songs. And the reason I do mention Elvis is because this man was a unique individual. Whether you liked his style or not, he might have been jealous. Because he was the most popular man on earth for a short period of time here. That's a title not everybody can actually claim, but he had the title, you know. And there were no second contenders. Yep, the most popular man on the face of the earth, Elvis Presley. But what was found out, his unique voice amazingly, people found out, and very few other people, I think, have been. I don't know if there's anybody. This is call and radio show. You know somebody else's voice who did the same, made the cows give more milk, caused the birds to sing in the trees, and just made animals happy. How about that? The voice of Elvis, his love ballads from the 1950s, was capable of causing cows to give more milk. I mean, that is phenomenal. So I had heard that story, and I put it to the test one day. I went out there, because I do play guitar, and I am a singer-songwriter. Sat at the edge of some trees, and just started singing one of Elvis Presley's famous love ballads. Maybe it was Love Me Tender. And within less than a minute, birds from all around had stopped what they were doing, and they started singing along with what I was doing, you know. And what really amazed me was a frog popped out of the water fountain I had built in my front yard and started singing harmony whenever I would play an Elvis song in froggy language, of course. And, wow. In fact, this frog was so hooked on singing Elvis with me. I remember one night coming back from the job I was working, as I pulled into the driveway, shut the car, as I opened the door, and which was right next to the pond, I heard my little chirping friend call to me in froggy language, you know, and I knew by his little peep what he wanted. I just inherently knew it. It was like telepathic communication. He wanted me to sing some Elvis songs with him. He was in the mood. So I immediately, because I am a responsive person, I went into the house, got my folk guitar, came out, and sat down by the pond, and we proceeded to sing for about a half hour of early Elvis songs, and he showcased his talents in ad-libbing, harmony, whatever I was singing. He wouldn't duplicate. He would sing harmony in Friday language, and it was perfection, a duet of perfection, and this is the magic of a magical voice to do this. So it wasn't just Elvis. It was the tones he was hitting. It was the sincerity of it, perhaps the words, but it helped not only him connect with Mother Nature, but me too. And it probably works for everyone. You got to try it. And because I can sing a cappella, if I'm around waiting, maybe I'm waiting for a train or something like that, and there's trees, and where there's trees, there's birds, I'll start singing some Elvis song, and it'll be a matter of maybe 10 seconds before the whole bird colony will catch on to what I'm doing, and they will stop their chitter-chatter, their tweeter-twatter, and start singing along with me. It never fails. So, nothing like a great true story. And that's why we should all, you know, tip our hats on January 8th, the birthday of the great Elvis Presley. And may he be forever loved for his loving ways. Speaking about cows giving more milk, you know, there's all kinds of new information coming out on the internet. And the people I follow, they're great posters of uncovering realities. And somebody posted a picture of cows about 19, in the 1940s in America, and the picture showed that the farmers were feeding the cows outside and feeding them hemp and marijuana plants, and the cows were munching it up. And you can best be sure that those cows were given good milk. You know, the quality of the milk has been purposely destroyed, unfortunately, by the corporate world. We have states like New Jersey where you're not allowed to sell raw milk. Let the consumer take their own risk. Now, the state would rather say, no, we want to protect you, so we're going to deprive you in order to protect you. Well, that's government for you right there. I remember there was a scare in New Jersey. Oh, my God. That really pulled some boners in that state. I remember they had somebody got all upset about, well, there might be bacteria in my egg that I got at the diner because they weren't cooked enough, and I'm sick or something like that. So I'm going to blame it on the eggs not being cooked enough at the diner. And the politicians got a hold of that for a short time. They mandated that all restaurants must cook their eggs over well. No more sunny side up eggs. No, eggs all had to be cooked over well or scrambled. So in order to save you from possible food poisoning, again, government took it upon themselves to deprive you to save you. I mean, this is the insanity we have to deal with. Eventually, like I got offended. But while we're on that, let me just remind everybody. Genius scientists, back when the gas wars were over and OPEC began raising prices, crazy happened with government, you know? Well, everybody was annoyed that the price of gasoline was going up because we were world driving with gasoline as low as 10.9 cents a gallon. Did you hear that? Gasoline went in the 60s, went as low as 10.9 cents a gallon and 15 cents a gallon for Supreme. Yeah. So anyhow, once OPEC got involved in our oil business, the price skyrocketed up, and the government all of a sudden wanted to get involved. And then what did they do? They went with one of their usual programs in order to save the people, you know, and save more gasoline. We will deprive the people of something. Yeah, so it's the same game plan. And they lowered the speed limit everywhere in the country. You know, different states had different speed limits. But no, the federal government says no one can go over 50 miles an hour anymore in order to save gasoline. And it took intelligent truckers to prove to the government that large trucking vehicles get better gas mileage at 55 to 60. And so they were forced to change their draconian 50 miles an hour up to 55. And then eventually, by more persuasion, the limit went up to 65. And of course, now we're back where the states have the proper say. Some states you can, I think, go up to 90 miles an hour legally on some roads. And then, of course, we have the Germans with their Autobahn, where there is no speed limit. It makes perfect sense. But at the same time, you know, again, this is what we've had to deal with. And unfortunately, it's coming to, rather fortunately, it's all that draconian laws are coming to an end, but we'll get so many bad laws on the book. This is going to require a lot of work on the part of the politicians And these are some of the things that the people need to ask the politicians. To get rid of all the laws that are suppressing the freedoms of what it is to be a human being. And in particular, they got a new mayor, young mayor, over in New York City, claims he wants to do something for the people. You know, change to the, make it a fairer playing field, make it more affordable to live in New York City. Of course, the main issue that needs to be addressed, and I know the new mayor hasn't looked into this, nor has the governor of the states of New York and New Jersey. You know, the cost of living in New York is so high for several reasons. But with the latest toll increases, I mean, it used to be a dollar to cross, you know, from one state to another, and that's a very nominal fee, you know, to base the cost of the toll collectors and all that stuff. And then it kept gradually going up, and now it's gone up, 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 no limit in sight. They're charging a vehicle, regular car vehicle, $22 to cross the stinking river. $22. You know, that is insane. You know, and then they've got the pricing charge of $9 added to that. You know, because somebody. The governor of New York approved charging the motorists, you know, the motorists are the dirtbag slaves of modern reality. You know, you want to get more money out of people, get it out of the motorists, you know, congestion pricing, $9 extra for what? Who gets any benefits out of it? Certainly not the people who are getting charged, that's for sure. And the toll to cross the stinking river, $22 when it used to be a dollar? Please. You know? Okay, maybe it can't be a dollar anymore, but it doesn't have to be $22. And that's just for cars. Trucks have to pay hundreds of dollars to make that crossing. And of course, the wisdom, lack of wisdom of the politicians is that, you know, in Manhattan, everything has to come in by truck. You know, they got rid of all the docks where they used to pull the rail cars up, the freight cars. All the freight lines that used to run into Manhattan were removed a long time ago. And, the only way to bring goods into Manhattan is by truck. So, and they've made it even worse. It used to be if you had commercial plates, you could park and make your delivery. Well, now they have a ticket agent squad that go around, and if the driver is not behind the wheel when he walks around the block, that driver's going to get a ticket, even though he does have the commercial plates. And, of course, kind of insane logic is this. How can a driver make a delivery and be in the truck at the same time for when the ticket agent walks around? Yeah. So that requires two people to make a delivery that can be done with one person. So that doubles or triples or quadruples the cost of making deliveries. And unless this issue is resolved, all the good intentions are not going to stop the prices in New York City from going up and up and away. And what most people don't understand is, and when you hear this, it doesn't even make any sense. You know, commerce is an important thing to keep an economy going. And when you allow things to happen that create a commerce situation where the only people who can make those deliveries are being extorted unbelievably, beyond comprehension, with no mercy. Turns out, the agency that handles the bridges and tunnels to take people from New York to New Jersey and back and forth is a private business that works for profit. And so it's not under the control of the governor of New York, nor the governor of New Jersey. It's a separate entity sucking money out of people trying to do an honest day's work. And this is one of the major causes of the price rise in New York. Of course, the realtors started their scam decades ago, right after, right around World War II, they began their scam of driving higher rents and getting away with it. So the solution to lower the cost of living in New York has to be directly related to lowering the cost of carrying goods into and out of New York, because that's the only way you can do it, is with a truck. You know, they don't have any other freight setup situations, you know. I mean, the container ships, they all go over to Newark, New Jersey. They don't have a port. Container ships do not have a port in New York City. So that, again, once the containers are loaded in New Jersey to get the goods back over to Manhattan, the truckers get extorted hundreds of dollars every trip they make, plus the risk of getting ticketed for just not having a second driver on hand to avoid the aggressive ticket agents. And this is the insanity that goes on. The only way this could be stopped, it has to do with cooperation of the governor of New York State and the governor of New Jersey. And very unlikely that's going to happen, because crooked politicians will continue to be crooked politicians, and they don't have the guts to do the right thing and regulate how much this this highway robbery private company known as the whatever they call themselves, the TBA, can continue to fleece the public of hard-earned money. And who has to pay? New Yorkers. Absolutely. New Jersey people have to pay too. You know, just by driving over to New York. You know, you got to pay their congestion price fee, whether you like it or not. And what do you get? Nothing. Yeah, and it saves them in New York too. What are you getting out of it? If you're a driver in New York, you're not getting anything out of that congestion price. It's given away. Blanking on a blank check to the New York City Transit Authority, who doesn't know how to operate the transit system. You know, when there was two and three separate transit systems that were all working for profit, no subsidies, and they managed to stay afloat in competition. Now with one transit system and millions and billions of dollars in gift money and more gift money coming down the pipe, they can't do anything under budget. Everything runs over budget. Everything takes too long to do, and the decisions being made are just ridiculous. And so, good luck, Mayor of New York. Because you are behind the eight ball, whether you know it or not. And Good luck. Try to get the governor of New York and governor of New Jersey to get the tolls lowered. Try to get the congestion prices lowered. Good luck. Anyhow, if we,
I just had to
mention that because I'm quite up to it, and I am a New York resident, and it's pitiful what's happening. You know, unfortunately, you know, as we reflect back, James Gilliam was telling us the truth about how we should be acting and giving up ourselves. But the harsh reality still exists that separate entities here, government and the people they are supposed to serve, are actually separate entities. Government basically serves the elite, even if they say they don't want to. And the people don't really have any true representatives. Slowly but surely, they're getting some recognition at the expense of other poor people. And that's not a good plan either. And the whole thing needs to be reorganized. And all the bad laws need to be gotten rid of. And the people need to have the final say on everything. It's time for a referendum-only government, believe me. But how many politicians want to give up their cushy job for a referendum only? I'm talking about a government where the government people can make the laws, but then it has to be approved by the public in a referendum with a certain percentage of approval. Otherwise, forget it. It's dead in the water, you know? And such safeguards have to be put in place. And I talk about safeguards. I just have to talk about this for a minute because it is mainstream news. You know, it's affecting us all. President Trump sends in the military force. They capture Maduro. And he's in New York awaiting trial now. Yeah. Sounds good, maybe. But look at all the laws. People he had step on to make that happen. Do we really want a government like that? Well, big man Trump is taking over the world in his own little way. And although it might be better for the United States economy, he's doing nothing for the common people. What does capturing Maduro really do for the common people? Nothing. I mean, sure, we understand the concept behind it. We understand the guy's a bad guy. We don't want killer drugs being shipped into our country. We don't want him giving the Chinese breaks when they don't deserve breaks. And then there's another war going on, the AI war, between the U.S., we're still number one in artificial intelligence, and China has moved right alongside of us there and proven that they can actually do it cheaper than we can do it. Ooh. So, that's another issue. And do the people have a lot to say on this? We might have a lot to say, but we don't have the leverage. The people with the money are making all the decisions. And they've got their game plan already, how to keep control of the AI with the holding on to the newest chips that enable an advancement in AI computing. But the Chinese, already have proved that they don't need the newest chip to have successful AI programs. And then there's the debate about the size of the programs. and how much water they consume, which is a negative effect for planet Earth. And plus the heat they create. Talk about raising the planet's temperature. Well, data centers are part of the problem. And then it's been figured out already that AI intelligence could be more usefully used for the common people with smaller programs. And a few people have done this in other countries. But the debate continues, and in the way things still are being run in this world, money rules. And so the corporations with all the big money, they're going to go for the big plan, you know, keep inventing new, more powerful chips, whatever the cost, and keep the Chinese at bay. And there's really not too much interest and concern for the common people in this battle of the AI control thing going on, but that's typical. You know, but it's something to think about. Now, probably, was there any good news today? Yes, there was. Apparently, in Saudi Arabia, they opened up the world's fastest roller coaster on a track 2.5 miles long or something like that, going to a top speed of 153 miles an hour. And most people never get to experience that. And now you can get to do it on a roller coaster. Of course, you have to go to Dubai, I believe, to ride this roller coaster. But, you know, it's about time people had a little fun. So, you cyclone riders, you know, in order to offset that a little, I think the owners of the cyclone should run the coaster free all week. Because it is still one of America's greatest roller coasters. Of course, they're not going to like that decision. Because they're a for-profit business. But I can tell you from my own experience of riding roller coasters, the cyclone is the greatest when it's packed, filled, and there's a little rain out to slick up the track, and that's when it runs its fastest. And the first turn or two are really whoppers. But Sam Beach's new roller coaster, Saudi Arabia, makes me almost want to go there, but not that much. Now, hey, you know, this is the name of the show, it's Connected Dots. And this is the first time it's on in this time slot, 11 to 11:55 Central Time. Of course, I'm doing a show from New York, so it's a midnight show to 12:55 a.m. over in New York here. And I'm going to follow in James Gillian's footsteps here and end my show maybe a little earlier tonight. It was a call-in radio show. Well, hey, you know, I kept prompting him, call the number. But I guess you haven't seen that commercial, or you didn't weren't aware of the call-in number. And the name of the show is Connected Dots. Tell your friends about it in 2 weeks. Next time I'll do the show at this time slot will be January 17th. Yeah. It's a bi-weekly show now. So I'll always announce when the next show is going to be. And the name of the show, Connected Dots, came out of my book, Connected Dots Theory. You know, I got a whole chapter in this book of mine, Connected Dots, called Mark of the False Gods. If you were to read that chapter, you begin to notice The false gods have their marks everywhere in our society, you know, but you have to become aware of what they are. And we're talking about civics, basically. You know, a little history and lesson here. Back in the 17th century, the famous astronomer Galileo said that the language of the universe is written in mathematics. And the characters are triangles, circles, and other geometrical figures, without which it is humanly impossible to begin to understand a single word of it. Well, hey, what can I say? Start finding out about the marks of the false gods. Yeah. Some of them are obvious. The upside down, five star, five pointed star. You know, there's actually a command center within the U.S. government, and that is part of the ambulance, an upside down, five pointed star. It appeared on the news once, and I took notice, and I go, what? Well, do your research. You'll find it if you go looking for it. An agency of the U.S. government using a demonic upside-down five-pointed star. So much for that. So anyhow, I might have a different time slot, but when I end the show, just like I ended my previous shows, you get to hear the lead guitar solo of my song, Are You the Party in Time? Are you? I am. Followed by my anthem, another song I wrote called I Gotta Be Somebody, which happens to be the first song on my CD Baby album called Songs Better Than Dylan, because the songs on the album are better than songs Dylan wrote. Gotta be a bold songwriter to be able to back that statement up, but the album speaks for itself. It's out there for free on YouTube. CD Baby, Songs Better Than Dylan. You can listen to every song for free. And if you have a heart, download your favorite song for 99 cents. And of course, check the new BBS radio schedule. Check out my show. Click on my name or the name of the show, connect the dots, and scroll down until you find the subscribe section and subscribe to the show. Because I'm going to be talking about amazing things. You know, we're all part of the big plan to bring humanity into the next reality, a better place. And we all have our parts to do. And you're going to end up playing whether you like it or not. Or you just end up playing anyway. Okay, Mr. Engineer, I'm going to give you the countdown. And everybody listening, see you in 2 weeks on January 17th. Same time, same BBS radio station 1. That is 11 p.m. right after James Gillian's As You Wish. And that's how I wish it. Okay, Mr. Engineer, here's the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Wanna know I I was here, took my stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave, I don't wanna join, join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Oh no, I was here to my stand without fear, it is clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stop to look.